Carol Rawlings has a special song for us, a Mother's Day song that her dad wrote, and I'll ask Carol if she will come this time.
The tender touch of a mother's love as she lifts her infant child, the joyous song flowing from her heart as she rocks and sings.
Thank you, Carol. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 9. The entire chapter deals with this man that was born blind as he was healed by Jesus. And as we are looking at this morning, we're going to see several things about this man born blind. The disciples saw a theological debate. The neighbors saw a beggar. The Pharisees saw a tool to trap Jesus. And Jesus saw a man in need. And the chapter begins in verse 1 by saying, "And as Jesus passed by." What a wonderful phrase that is, Jesus passed by. There's a chorus that we sang a lot when I was growing up, still sing it some today. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. And our lives are completely changed when Jesus passes by and saves us from sin. Well, here, this man was healed from being blind, and later he received spiritual sight as well. He didn't receive them at the same time, but later he did. And so we'll see that as well. And it tells us in this one, in verse 1, that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Other people saw him too, but Jesus saw him differently than everybody else saw him there. And Jesus, being omniscient, knowing everything, and omnipresent, being everywhere, he sees everything. The Bible says God's eyes go through and forth the whole earth. And he sees, and he saw this man, and here is Jesus, and he is going to deal with the blindness that he has. But the disciples, they had this question about who did sin. So there was this concept of sin that they had, and the question was, who did sin, this man or his parents? And so they were looking at the past. Somebody must have sinned. That was part of their religious beliefs, that every kind of physical ailment was directly a result from some particular sin. Now, we know that sin is the cause of all illness, generally speaking, and it's the cause of death. We die because of sin. But they were looking at the past. But Jesus wasn't. He was looking at the future. And he said to them, neither this man nor his parents caused this, verse 3, but that the works of God should be manifest. And oftentimes people will do that. They'll look either at their own past with regrets and can't get over what sins maybe God has forgiven them for, and other people will look at our past. But Jesus is looking at what the future would hold for this man and what he could be by the grace of God. And so he said that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And so this man begins to be used of God. Now, he had not been able to see from the day he was born, but God is going to use him. And God knows best. So he knew best of why this man was born blind, because now comes a point in his life where God's going to use him. And we don't always understand why a person is born blind, why a person is born this way. But we can trust God, or at least we should be trusting God, that he knows best and he has a purpose and a plan for each individual. And Jesus says to them in verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, here was a man who had never seen light, being blind from birth. And he's going to now see the beauty of light. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I don't think we take our sight for granted. Oftentimes when we read stories like this, it reminds us what a wonderful thing it is to be able to see. What a wonderful thing it is to have glasses that will help us see even better there. But we're going to talk a little bit as well about seeing spiritually, coming to know Christ, who is the light of the world. And unsaved people cannot see spiritually. And oftentimes, because they're unsaved and they can't see spiritually, it can also affect the way they see other things, whether it's politics or some kind of public policy or something. They don't see things scripturally. They see things through the world's philosophy. And we as Christians, once God enlightens our eyes, we begin to see things through the pages of Scripture. And we should see all things that way. Government, marriage, relationships, we view those things through the pages of Scripture. And so they had their own feelings about sin and causing this blindness. But what does God say about sin? What is God's concept of sin? Of course, the Bible tells us that all sin, all men have sinned. And because all have sinned, sin brings forth death. And it separates us from God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so this man who was blind had sinned, his parents had sinned, but his blindness wasn't a direct result of any one particular sin, Jesus is telling them, but we've all sinned. And because of sin, we'll be eternally separated from God. We hear so much about social distancing, and you may have noticed on the sign out front, it talks about eternal distancing. Those who die in spiritual darkness, they have eternal distancing from God, a dreadful thing to have. Well, we see God's concept of sin, and now we see God's course of action. God does more than just tell us about sin. He tells us that sin separates us from God and sin brings eternal death, but he does more than that. He does something about it. And what he did here in verse 6, it says that he made some clay out of spittle. He spat on the ground and took that wet dirt and he put it on Jesus, on the man's eyes, the blind man's eyes. Now, why did he do it this way? He could have just said, receive your sight, and he would have received sight. He could have said, go wash in the pool of Siloam without having to have this clay on his eyes. Why did he do it this way? I don't have an answer for that. The Bible doesn't tell us why. And God oftentimes does his own work in his own way. And we might not understand why he does this. And some people might look at that and say, well, spit, you know, it's kind of nasty. Do you think the blind man minded that? I think he'd rather have his sight there. And so God has a course of action. And he doesn't ask our approval of it. And we don't have to always understand it, but we can trust him, can't we? And so now we see God's commands. And Jesus, being God, commands him. In verse 7, here's the command he gave to this man. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. He didn't tell him, now, you just sit and wait, and eventually your sight's going to come back to you. He didn't tell him to go wash in Jordan there. And why did he do this? Well, maybe he was testing the man's faith. This command that he gave was clear. It was specific. It was a definite command. Go, leave from here, from where you are, and go to the pool of Siloam, and there wash the mud off your face, and you will receive your sight. He didn't say, now you just go and to the closest well you can find, or go find a pitcher of water, and you go and find, just wash it off any way you can. And the Bible's very clear when God gives us commands as well. He doesn't tell us to find any way we can to go to heaven. He says you must be born again. And there's only one way for us to be saved, and that is to trust Jesus Christ. He is the only way to God. The Bible gives us, we could go on and on with commands, but I don't want to get bogged down there. He says, come out from among them and be separate. That's a command that he gives to us. In other words, he says, I'm the light of the world. You live as children of light. You come out of the darkness from which I have saved you, and you live in the light of God's word. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together, which we often apply, and rightfully so, to marriages. Saved people ought not to marry unsaved people. That is being unequally yoked. But that's just one application. We could make others, like a saved businessman going into a financial partnership with an unsaved man, would be an application we could make as well. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers there. Jesus said another command, take up your cross and follow me. He's saying live by the word. Don't live by the world. And so there are many, many commands, and they're pretty clear and specific. But people like to dance around them and try to find a way to do their own thing. And this command was very specific as well. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And verse 7 says, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing there. And whenever Jesus gave him this command, there wasn't anything in it for Jesus. He didn't have an ulterior motive there. This blind man had nothing to offer Jesus. We don't have anything to offer him as well. But he offers us spiritual sight because he was compassionate. Jesus was showing compassion on this man, and he was doing it for his good. And when God looks down on us and he sees us living in spiritual blindness and darkness, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to earth to die for us because of his compassion, and it's certainly for our good. so we don't have to die and go to hell, but we can be with him as well. And we can't pay him back, and everything he does is for our good. Well, they saw this theological debate. Well, the neighbors, they saw a beggar. His condition in verse 8, he was nothing but a beggar, verse 8 says. He was blind, and they said, is not this he that sat and begged? You know, and a lot of people are begging today. Some people are maybe addicted to drugs, maybe addicted to alcohol, illicit sex or materialism or pleasure. And all of these are forms of begging for help. And we here on earth are in need of help because we can't save ourselves. We can't deliver ourselves from darkness. And Jesus is offering this help to the whole world, this blindness spiritually Jesus offered to them. And so his condition was he was nothing but a beggar. And that's all that we are, spiritually speaking. We can't do anything for ourselves. And here is his cure. It says he went his way and washed. In verse 11, as he's answering questions about how he was healed, he's telling them that. He says, I went and washed, and I received my sight. It was a very simple answer. The Pharisees didn't accept this answer. As you read through the story, you'll see they ask him about five times, what happened to you? What happened to you? They went to his parents, you know, and the cure was very simple. He went and he washed and he came seeing. It was just like Jesus told him. Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll receive your sight. And so it is in the scriptures when he says, if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when someone calls upon the Lord, they're saved, just like Jesus said there. And how did he get to the pool? He was blind. Obviously, somebody had to lead him there. Doesn't tell us that, but somebody needed to help him. And whoever it was, we don't even have his name there. And so he had a part in this person's receiving his sight. And so we think about our witnessing. We can't give spiritual sight to anyone, but we can lead them to the pool, can't we? We can lead them to Christ. He's the one that gives sight. And it's not about who this man was that led him there, because his name is not even mentioned. Matter of fact, the fact that someone led him there is not even mentioned. And when we lead someone to the Lord, it's not about us and how many people we win, how many souls we win. It's wonderful to win a lot, but it's not about the person who leads them to Christ. It's about Christ and saving them there. And so we see his condition and his cure and his change there. And so they ask him in verse 10, how were thine eyes open? And this change was not only evident to the man, he can now see, but the change was evident to everybody else. Because he used to sit and beg and he couldn't see and now he can. And so is salvation. Whenever God saves us, we recognize the change. It's impossible to go from blindness to vision without noticing it. And so here it was a noticeable change. And when God saves us, he makes a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. Can you imagine the newness in this man when he saw for the first time the excitement that must have been there? And so they're asking this question, and he said, a man named Jesus put clay on my eyes and told me to go and wash, and I did, and now I see. And they ask in verse 12, where is he? Where is this man named Jesus? And of course, he didn't know because Jesus had told him to go and they wasn't right there. And where is Jesus? And we can ask ourselves that question, where is he in my life as well? Where is Jesus in your life? Is that change there? The change that was in this man? And our job is not to go and convince everyone, but our job is certainly to tell them why Jesus came and lead them to Jesus. Well, they weren't too satisfied with this answer, and so the Pharisees began to see this as a tool to trap Jesus. In verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And these Pharisees, they weren't so concerned about the blindness of this man, and even they weren't even rejoicing that a blind man can now see. They were concerned that Jesus had done this on the Sabbath day, and that was his practice. He often did miracles on the Sabbath day. Jesus was full of compassion there. And the religious people around him, they didn't like it that he had done this miracle on the Sabbath day, because they didn't have the compassion. Oh, they had their list of religious rules and commands and things they could and couldn't do on the Sabbath or other days, but they didn't have a relationship with God. And they were missing out on this wonderful relationship with Jesus. And here he was walking right around with them, and they missed out on it because they didn't understand what he was doing there. And we might not always understand why he used his spittle, why he used the pool of Siloam. And here they were just trying to trap Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath day. And then verse 22, as you drop down in the chapter, it says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. They had asked the man what happened. He kept giving them the same story. This man named Jesus, he told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I did, and I see. And then they said, is this really the one that was blind? And now they go to the parents. And the parents said, this man is of age. He's not a lad. He's not a child. You ask him. And maybe they weren't there. It doesn't tell us. But they knew what his son had been testifying concerning Jesus, but they were afraid. And the reason they were afraid in verse 22, because the Jews, that's the people of Jesus, he was a Jew, the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he, Jesus, was the Christ, they were going to put him out of the synagogue. And so they were very religious, but their religion wasn't all about the Christ. And the Christ is the very person that the Jews' Bible, the Old Testament, it predicted that the Christ, the Messiah, would come, and he's there. But they didn't know God. And they knew some of the scripture, but they didn't know God. And there's a difference in knowing about God and knowing him personally. And here were people that feared the Jews, and this religious opposition is coming. And it might be coming to us. It's hard to tell, but it might come. And we know that they hated Jesus. They persecuted him and the disciples. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be surprised either if it comes to us. And so they had this tool, and they were talking about his practice of healing on the Sabbath, and the people were fearing, causing fear among the parents. But then they began to ask this man, who is this Jesus? And notice the change in his answers. In verse 11, he answers the question. He says, a man. This man called Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus is much more than a man, but he was man. He was 100% man, and he was 100% God. And so he answered the question and said, a man named Jesus told me to go and wash the mud off my eyes in the pool of Siloam, and I would receive sight, and I did what this man, Jesus, told me to do, and now I see. And they kept asking again and again. And so when we come down now to verse 17, they ask him another question. They said to the blind man, what do you say of him? Him that opened your eyes. And he said, he's a prophet. And so now he's saying, oh, he's more than a man. Just a mere man, he's not going to be able to cure me of blindness, having been blind all my life. And so now he is a prophet, some kind of religious master there we see. And verse 16 says, there was a division among them. And there will be divisions today among religious people when we take a stand and say Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. All others are thieves and liars, and there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. And he is a man, the humanity of Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. And he was also a prophet, but he was much more than a prophet. We come down to verse 22. And these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. If they said, this is the one that Isaiah 53 talks about, the suffering servant who will come as the Christ, and many other scriptures in the Old Testament talk about the Messiah. If anybody says, this is the one, then we're going to kick them out of the synagogue there. Well, we see not only that he confessed that he was a man and a prophet, but he did confess that he was the Christ. In verse 38, it says, in verse 37, let me back up a verse, Jesus said to the man, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. That is, the Son of God. Because in verse 35, it says, when they found him, they said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And the blind man said, Lord, who is this Son of God that I might believe? And Jesus said, you've seen him. He had not seen anything else. And the first thing he saw, you know, when he went back to Jesus, he saw the man, the prophet, the Christ, who had given him sight. And now he's seeing him for all eternity in heaven. And so Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he that is talking with thee. I am the Christ. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And we know that just mere men and prophets, they don't receive worship. Even angels don't receive worship. Only God receives worship. And Jesus received the worship of this man because he saw him not just as a man and not just as a prophet, but he saw him as the Christ, the Messiah. The parents were cowards. They were afraid to take a stand. This man wasn't here. And we need not fear what the world, whether religious or non-religious, will do to us. If parents or if friends, if they don't stand with us, we don't fear. Jesus will stand with us. And we will see that here, that how he stood with this man. So Jesus saw a man in need, a man who was blind. It tells us he was blind from his birth. He was in darkness there. And Jesus gives him spiritual sight. And this is a story, not just to help us understand the miracles that Jesus did, but it's a story that has a message for us, that those of us who are blind because of sin, and that's all the world, because we're all born into sin. But we also see, not only was this man blind, in verse 28, we see that he was blasphemed. They were speaking evil against this man. It says, they reviled him, and they said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And of course, they really weren't. They weren't following Moses, because if they had been following Moses, according to the scriptures, they would have been following Christ as well there. And here's this man who was mocked, and he was ridiculed. Maybe their theology had something to do with that. Remember, they asked that question, who sinned, this man or his parents? And people need to be careful, because what you believe can affect how you treat people. And they had this wrong theology, and now it's causing them to mistreat people. And so whenever we have a proper view of Scripture and theology, and we understand the compassion and mercy of God, and we see it's not about the past, but it's what God can make them in the future. If we see people that way, and that is our view of God and the compassion that he has, then maybe we can be used in the hand of God to be a help to others as well. Well, this man was cast out. He was banned. It tells us in verse 35, when Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And so they didn't like his testimony, so they threw him out. And Jesus heard about it.
And what did he do? Verse 35 says, he found him. He went and found him. And whenever we are cast out by this world, and really the people that cast him out, not such a group to be worried about being cast out from, is it? Who wants to be with a group like that crowd anyway? To be rejected by that crowd is okay. Jesus came to his aid. But up until this time, he had only been physically healed. And so we see that Jesus, again, talks to him and said, do you believe on the Son of God? And at this point, when he said in verse 38, Lord, I believe. And that's a simple way to be saved, isn't it? The Bible says that we're saved by believing on him. It's not by works of righteousness which we do, but it's according to his mercy he saves us. And just as the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord. He called him Lord. And this man addresses him as Lord. And he said, I believe. And from this moment, when he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, he received his spiritual sight to add to the physical sight that he had received just moments before. Well, we come to the conclusion here, and we're all born blind. There must be a time when we receive our spiritual sight. And just as there was a particular moment when this man went from blindness, darkness, to being able to see, it happened like that. Whenever we trust Christ as Savior and we say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Christ and I accept him as my Savior, that very moment, God washes the mud off of our face, so to speak. He gives us spiritual sight. David said in Psalm 51:5, David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me there. And so the Bible says that we're all born in sin. As I said earlier, through Adam, one man, sin entered into the world. And we sin because we're sinners. We're born sinners. We're born spiritually blind. And God gave him sight. God gave sight to this man for God to get the glory. When they asked him who did sin, this man or his parents, he said neither, but so that the glory of God would be made manifest, that is visible, seen. And so he cured this blind man so that everyone would see that God would get the glory. When God saves us and gives us spiritual sight, he does it for the same reason, that God would get the glory. And God received the glory from this man because he was not afraid to testify that Jesus touched me and he gave me sight. And we need not to fear what man can do to us, but we also need to share what Christ has done for us. And those who are still in darkness, God wants us to lead them to the pool of Siloam, so to speak. He wants us to lead them to Jesus because he's the only one that can give spiritual sight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who gives spiritual sight to those living in darkness, which is all the world. And Father, we thank you for the story of this wonderful miracle. And every time a person is born into the kingdom of God, it's a miracle, and the angels rejoice in heaven. And Father, we pray, if there's any listening to the sound of my voice now who might be living in spiritual darkness, that they've never come to know Jesus as more than a man and more than a prophet, if they've never come to know him as the Son of God, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior, we pray that they would come to trust him now, even as this man did, by simply saying, Lord, I believe. And Lord, we thank you that you keep your word, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. And we thank you for that promise in Jesus' name. Amen.